Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Namaste, yogis. This is Andrew Seely here to welcome you to another insightful episode of the Yoga Revealed podcast. Today, I have not one, but two absolutely awesome yogis to share with you. Bryony and Dice speak to us on their bustling yoga career and how they keep their relationship spicy while teaching yoga, traveling the world, and parenting two children.
Yeah. We've tried in the past on the business side to have assistants or managers or things like that, but it boils down to why we're doing this, and we're doing this because we love connecting with people.
Listen close as we give you the double dose on this great episode of the Yoga Revealed podcast with Bryony and Dice.
Good morning. Super excited to have you guys on today, Bryony and Dice.
So excited to be here.
Excited to be here, man. Definitely.
Thanks for having us. Yeah, great to interview you guys on this beautiful Santa Monica day. It's absolutely sunny. On November, like, who would have thought that?
So lucky.
LA. Always.
Beautiful place to live, right?
Warm or warmer. That's pretty much the climate. There's no seasons. It's just two.
We're lucky. But yeah. We've all got our, you know, our winter gear out.
Your sweater.
Sweater plus the yeah.
Definitely. So here on the Yoga Revealed podcast, we really like to kind of go into the depth of how yoga was revealed to your life. And I'm really excited to have you both on at the same time because it's like your life has been this beautiful collaboration of a relationship. And as you laugh, I mean, it looks beautiful.
That's very true. I think we're laughing because it's a great way to put it. It's been a collaboration.
Constant collaboration.
and
on all levels, you know, yoga brought us together. And it continues to help us check in daily with ourselves and with each other and our kids and the whole spectrum of what we're doing. So, yeah.
Awesome. So I wanted to talk about, the beginning, like the start for you, Bryony, and, where your yoga journey perhaps began or who revealed yoga to you first.
I think many people will relate when I say I found yoga at a very dark place in my life. I was really young and in the music industry in Thailand and not treating my body very well. I was bulimic and anorexic from the age of 12, 13.
Wow.
It took up until 21 to actually stop abusing my body that way, actually when I was pregnant with my daughter. But yoga, I found on a trip to India. I was working as a host for a kind of like a travel show in Thailand. And I stayed on a week and a half just to explore. And I walked into an ashram just out of the necessity of connecting with people. I was really young. I was only 15 going on 16 and traveling by myself. So saw some what I thought were Americans weren't Americans, but still they spoke English and had my first yoga experience there. And it was really hard. I thought it was really challenging and hard. And at moments, I felt like I wasn't going to be able to get through the practice. But what I felt at the end was what kept me coming back, which was, hey, I just spent, you know, almost 2 hours not thinking about my body image, not thinking about whether I fit in or whether people liked me. And I just felt really good in my body. It was that first experience of practicing self-care. And so I went back to Thailand, and the only studio there was, at the time in 97 or so, mm-hmm. was a Bikram studio. Mm. So I practiced hot yoga for quite a while, and I really liked it. I just loved yoga. It helped me clear my mind on a daily basis, helped me start on a better path towards self-love.
Yeah, and at that time, were a lot of things in your life kind of pointing you towards yoga, or was it more so you being extracted from all of the hustle and bustle of your life that brought you to yoga?
Good question. Nothing in my life was pointing me to yoga. You know, the whole lifestyle was you were awake at night, you did tons of drugs, you know.
What were you doing at this time?
I was singing. I was an artist in Thailand and all of Asia, and Southeast Asia and Japan at the same time. So
like
pop
star?
Pop star, yeah. Ah. Yeah, back in the 90s before piracy.
Ah, pop star turned yogi? Look
yes.
at you.
I still have my first album on cassette tape, which, you know, to date is sold like 5 million. So,
wow.
Cassettes.
You showed one to Taylor the other day, and she was like, what is this?
You went platinum in cassettes?
Yes. Flopping it around, like, what do you do with this?
I went platinum in cassettes and CDs, because, you know, I had 10 albums from the age of 11 till about 21.
Wow.
Yeah, it was definitely an amazing ride, and it wasn't all bad. It was just the way that I chose to lead my life wasn't the best, you know, partying and way too much partying. Had a lot of fun from what I can remember. But no, to answer your question directly, nothing was leading me towards there. It was more like a refuge. You know, when I finally found yoga, it was a place where I could go to stop, or at least to stop my mind from taking its normal path.
Hmm. Yeah. And what kind of cultivated your practice? What allowed you to continue upon that path? What was like the driving, drawing factor to you continuing to go to yoga every day?
What drew me to yoga every day was it explained the confusion in my head at the moments that I was clear. I felt like I loved partying, and at the moments that I was partying, I felt loved by my friends. I felt accepted. And there was that, you know, kind of drug bond, to be super blunt. But I also knew deep down inside, as young as I was, that this wasn't real. You know, that I couldn't possibly be doing this for the rest of my life. That life had so much more, but I didn't know how to get there. I didn't feel like I had the tools. And each time I practiced yoga, each time I felt that confusion and you know, went to the mat, I felt some clarity, like there was a different purpose in my life other than just being accepted by people. Because, you know, the struggle I had with body image and self-acceptance it was worsened by what I was doing, you know, being in the limelight and, you know, having albums sell really well and then all of a sudden not. And, you know, over 10 years, a lot changed in the music industry. Piracy was a big part of it. But there was a lot of rejection that I experienced and didn't know what to make of it. And yoga really helped me realize that these are just parts of life. They make you stronger if you can take what you need out of those experiences and move forward.
Awesome. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit more about how you decided to become a teacher of yoga.
Yes. The biggest turning point in my life was when I was pregnant with my daughter, Taylor. I was 21 in the middle of my last tour, which at the time I didn't know it was my last tour. And I found out I was pregnant. I was like, oh my God, I'm pregnant. What am I gonna do? I'd already broken up with my boyfriend at the time, who was the father of my child, and I didn't know I was pregnant until 4 months in. So, because I was always a regular, just, you know, in case someone's listening to this and they're saying, how could you not know you were pregnant? Well, always irregular. So it was a huge turning point, because all of a sudden, all of the choices I was making weren't just about me. They were about someone else, about my daughter. And I decided, at the time, right away, I didn't decide to teach yoga. Actually, I moved into the fashion industry for a few years. But she was the driving force when it came to teaching yoga, because I had failed miserably in the fashion industry. It was right at the crash of the market here in the U.S., the last crash, well, two crashes ago now. I just really wanted to do something that was meaningful and would be a great role model in my daughter's life. And I'd been practicing yoga for so long. Right at that same time, I had been practicing Catherine Budig's class for about a year. And she really embodied, you know, this new modern yoga teacher. You know, in the past, most of the yoga teachers I'd taken from were wearing unitards or loincloths. And, you know, they're older and living a certain type of lifestyle that I didn't really resonate with. But Catherine really inspired me. And I thought, wow, she's young. She's, you know, teaching. She's bringing the yoga, traditional yoga, into the new kind of mindset of living and making it accessible. And so I decided to start teaching yoga because of my daughter and Catherine.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Absolutely wonderful.
Thank you.
Let's go over to you, Bryce.
I'll answer to Bryce. That's why we called it that. That's why we call it Bryce Yoga, because it's so easy. Oh my
goodness.
Inevitably, someone will call
exactly.
one of us Bryce.
I love it.
Dice.
Bryce. Bryce is fine, too.
I'm happy that you enjoy it.
I'm easy. I'm all right.
I can tell. You're very docile.
I'm like, whatever.
He's docile. Like
no, that's beautiful. So let's hear a little bit about your yoga beginnings and how yoga was revealed to you, Dice.
Let's see. Yoga was revealed to me really around August 2007.
You know the exact month?
I know the exact day. I remember the class. I remember everything.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Let's hear about it.
Was it Sarah Ivanhoe?
It was Sarah Ivanhoe. Hmm. Over at Yoga Works Montana. It was a 6 p.m. class on a Tuesday. before I took that class, I think throughout my life, I definitely knew that I was a physical being, meaning I needed to move my body to feel somewhat normal or at peace.
Did you play sports?
A lot of sports, yeah.
Like what?
Hockey for a good 6 years in my younger years, baseball for 6 or 7 years, both of those competitively, swam for a good 4 years competitively as well. But as I got older, it just became more of like going to the gym, working out, lifting weights, running, things of that nature. But I graduated from UCLA and ended up working for a clothing line, an apparel, athletic apparel company.
Which one?
Lululemon.
Ah.
Yeah, over in Beverly Hills.
That's cool.
And, you know, I don't know what their policies are now, but any full-time employee could go around town and take any classes, Pilates, yoga, you name it, and they'd reimburse you the money because you're repping their stuff anyway. So I tried everything that was out there, from spinning to all of it. And yoga, I think I was always apprehensive because for most people, I think the stigma still is attached, but the idea of yoga is like flexible body. Maybe it's a cult. Maybe, you know, I mean, there's so many things that people don't understand about it, and I didn't either. So I finally was like, all right, fine, I'll try a yoga class. And I got into a Vinyasa flow class. And, I've worked hard in any sport I've ever done, dedicated to it, really put my all into it. But that yoga class, I put my all into it, but at the same time, I felt like I was just, I don't know. I felt worked. My ass was handed to me. But at the same time, I felt so present. There wasn't much thought of like, where am I going after this? What's going on? What just happened? It was like, no, I'm here on my back. Everybody's upside down right now. All I can do is lay here and be okay with this. And it was,
Sarah's classes are pretty,
she's pretty intense. And
yeah,
obviously not only physically speaking, she was tapping into my mind, which no physical thing that I'd ever done had ever made me not necessarily think, but get that much into my head and my body at the same time. Mm-hmm. So it had me hooked. I mean, I remember about 70 minutes into class, she gave people the option to go upside down. And I literally had to lie down and just basically in pre-shavasana for a good however long, and my eyes were open, kind of, you know, observing the room, watching these people do their stuff and being inspired to see people on their head, on their hands, on their forearms and doing their thing. But also it was nice because she came over and was like, are you okay? And I never had an instructor, anybody say, you know, normally, you know, CrossFit or any aerobic thing, they're like, suck it up, just go.
Yeah.
And she was like, are you okay? Do you need any help? Do you need me to help you up for anything? Because I guess I looked that bad. I was like, no, I'm actually cool. I'm really loving being right here. Right,
I thought
now.
You said get horizontal.
Yeah, I'm relaxing right now, you know. So that was my first experience with yoga. And honestly, after that experience, the next day I went back to another class. I don't think it was her, but I didn't take a day off of at least the asana practice for a good 4 months after that. I mean, it literally pulled me in.
You were inspired.
I was super inspired. And I found something that, honestly, I think at the time, I felt happy, but I couldn't really describe my feelings. And it was just more like, go, do it. There wasn't much thought behind it, I guess, which maybe in hindsight, you should always think about what you're doing. But I just loved it enough that it was just go.
It was intuitive.
Yeah, I think it was something that, you know, when people say that, these things aren't necessarily things that you learn, but they're already inside of you. It's just bringing them out, or, you know, these, things can be dormant. And I think with yoga, things started to peel away or open up. And after about 4 months of practicing, went through a teacher training, which Lululemon amazingly funded half of it. They're a really good company as far as when they want to back people up, and they're really great at encouraging people to do what they love. So went through TT and, I mean,
who'd you do your TT with?
So I did it at City Yoga, which is now Yoga Works.
Yeah.
Over on Fairfax and Santa Monica in West Hollywood. I did it with Noam Azay, Rebecca Beninati, Anthony Beninati, Tar Judell, and Camilla Bergstrom. So a lot of Anusara people.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an Anusara TT. It was the last one they did there.
Wow.
That took 5 months. I went part-time during those 5 months at Lulu, and as soon as I graduated the TT, I was lucky enough to get gigs everywhere, so I just quit and went full-time teaching really back in 2008. So,
nice.
Yeah, so it's been a whirlwind, a beautiful whirlwind, and I mean, you know, you never know what's coming, but like to really look back now that I think about it, it's really been amazing to watch.
And when did you two meet?
So we met in 2010. I know the date if you want that
one. Yeah, no, what was the date and time?
2009. I'm
like, wait, he's usually right, but he's not right now.
He's usually right. Oh, I like that. No.
About when we met.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's it.
Sorry.
Disclaimer.
No. Around November 2009, well, even before that, we knew about each other for a good 6 months to a year before we'd actually met.
We taught in Santa Monica, you know, in that little
bubble,
and I was at a place called Yogis Anonymous. He was at Home Simply Yoga.
Yeah, Home Simply.
Home Simply, and we would get the same students, and I would, you know, for 6 months, students would be like, do you know this guy, Dice? I'm like, no, I don't know him. But he looks like you. He sounds like you. I thought, oh, he must be Asian then.
He must be a halfer. Because we look slightly white, but definitely Asian. The whole, he looks like you, she looks like you. I was like, so I should be dating someone that looks like me? Is that what needs to happen? But
they thought that we taught similarly.
And they always talked about it. Yeah, so we knew about each other for quite a while. And then one of our fellow teacher, someone that we were taking from quite often, actually,
Christy Cahill.
Mm-hmm. Phenomenal teacher.
Absolutely wonderful.
Yeah.
Took her class last week.
Yeah. she basically was trying to hook us up, but we were with people at the time. I'm sorry, you weren't with anybody. You weren't even dating. You were dating.
It was at one time in my life where I was like, I'm going to just date. You know, I'm not going to be in relationships because we're the same. We're both relationship people. And so I make sure that I say, no, I was not in a relationship.
I was in a relationship. I was in a relationship with another yogini out here. But it was around November 2009, around Thanksgiving. We were in Krista's class. That was the first time I met her. But we were both with, you know,
Significant others.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't with anybody. I was by myself.
Okay. All right.
I was by myself.
Okay. January 2010, we both were single. I'm already when it comes to the ladies, I can be a little shy. Like, you know, all throughout my life, I mean, it's like, you know,
Did she make the first move?
She didn't make the first move. I went to her class.
Krista was playing Cupid, so Krista says, "Hey, Dyson's gonna come to your class. He's gonna ask you out." I was like, "Oh my god, he's so cute!" You know, he's like this hot yoga hunk. That's what I thought. At least.
I go to her class, and I don't know, for whatever reason, I was really nervous around her, like more than normal, to the point where after class, I was like, "Great class, thanks for class. Here's my business card if you want to hang out." I gave her my business card. So she's like, okay, and I just didn't think anything of it, but she puts the business card apparently in her car and lets it sit there for a month.
Because I thought, does he want me to call him? I'm not going to call him.
He's gonna call me the business card? Yeah. Come on.
That's totally a dice move.
It wasn't a month. It was a week. And the business card was on the dashboard.
Because Krista calls me and goes, "Did you ask her out?" And I was like, no. And then she said,
she called me. She said, "So when are you guys going out?" And I said, "Well, he gave me..." She goes, "What's wrong with him?" "Don't worry."
Yeah, but she did call me. She called me and told me, "Go back to the class and ask her." I go back to your class the second time. I didn't ask you out.
No, you didn't. You didn't at all, so...
What happened? You just went in?
He's like, "Hey, dude, I just
stage fright twice.
Hey, hi again."
So he texts me that same day after the
second
time.
He got your number this time.
Yeah, I did.
From Krista. Krista goes, "I'm just going to give him your number, and he's just going to text you." I was like, okay.
Right. And Krista is so, like, determined. Yes. She's like,
she is super determined.
Like, "Nope, this is what's happening."
So he texts me.
I text Brad, "Hey..." And I think this is actually verbatim. "We should hang out sometime, ... Her answer right back. And this is now that I think about it, this is so Bri. This is my wife. She goes, "Pick a date and ask me." That's exactly what she said. I was like,
Laying down the law.
Okay. Saturday, Jerome Mercier's class. Let's go to his class, 4 p.m. on a Saturday, February 6th, 2010. Then we went and had sushi after. And
then lasted 7 years. And then, 6 years.
And then honestly...
After sushi.
Yeah. And funny story is, I had just gotten my own apartment for the first time in my life. Like, I had always had roommates or lived with a significant other, you know, and I got my own apartment for a good week and a half. And then I met her, or we started hanging out.
She moved in?
She literally moved in. Her clothes started coming in. I didn't have any problem with it, but I was like, oh wow, I really only had a week and a half of my own back.
I was gone a lot though, because at the time my daughter was still living in Texas. Hmm. So I was in Texas a lot.
Yeah.
It was a really great time. You know, we say that a lot. You know, timing really was of the essence of during when we first met, because everything worked out really well for us. He was working a lot, and I was struggling to find a job because, you know, at the time, everybody was a female for the most part. And
yeah, definitely. I got lucky being a male teacher in L.A., and I think I was running 20 to 22 classes a week on top of three, four, five privates a week.
In his car.
She'd take my class two or three times a day and just drive with me to privates, and my private clients got to know her. It was awesome. It was really cool. Yeah.
And... was your practice at the time mostly influenced by Anya Sara, or did it begin to develop into your own type of flow?
Oh, I mean, even now, it's still always inspired and definitely pulling from so many different modalities and people. But, I mean, I was taking primarily a lot from the Cahills, so there was a lot of airtime there. I think that's where I found a lot of love for being on my hands and being upside down. But also taking a lot of Anya Sara classes from Noah, from Anthony, but also from a guy named Chris Chavez, who's now based out of Turkey, but he was in LA teaching classes in his apartment. He had a one-bedroom apartment, but he dedicated the living room to his yoga shala, so it was empty, but he could fit 20 people, like, mat to mat, like, you were in there, like, Vinny Marino style on top of each other.
Sardines.
But it's still, to this day, is one of my favorite classes, energetically, spiritually. Oh, yeah, and then also Raghunath was out here during that time, and so I got to... I've been so lucky and blessed with all the people I've been able to learn from and be inspired by, or be inspired from.
Annie.
Annie. But I think I was Anisara heavy then, but also inversion heavy. I mean, both still remain within me, I think.
And what about inversions draws you so much to that practice?
I am a big kid. And I really am a child. Sometimes in a mad way, she tells me I'm a child. But I'm totally a big child. And I think inversions, you know, they can build confidence and courage in people. But for me, they've helped me build a little more courage. But more than anything, it just helps me to feel playful and being like a kid. And obviously, you can get very rigid with the arm balance, handstand, or hand balance practice. But I think for me, it's always a reminder to stay a little bit lighter and be happy. You know, mm-hmm. if I'm feeling a little bit down, if I get upside down or get on my hands, normally the smile flips upside down or the frown goes upside down. So, yeah, I think, and that'll always remain. I mean, obviously there's so many physical benefits, but for me, it's just really a place I get to connect with my inner child over and over again.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So at this time, you guys are together, you're kind of traveling to all of his yoga classes. When did it evolve into Rice Yoga?
Well, we were teaching a lot at our studio, now is our studio called Black Dog,
mm-hmm.
In Sherman Oaks. We were both teaching separate classes, and people were just asking for us to teach a workshop together. I think it started with a charity workshop that we co-taught for the tsunami in Japan years ago. And we liked it.
And we also started getting a little bit of, you know, close inquiries, like Phoenix. We went to Life Power.
Yes.
And first experience really teaching together workshop style, having like a menu and going there.
I think it was the Cahills, you know, they were already teaching and traveling and we went to assist them in Philadelphia, and we got to see what, you know, what it was like, what the dynamic was like and the possibilities and how they get to travel the world together and make money while doing it and also have each other do what they love. So we had some opportunities. Like you said, Phoenix was the first one. And then the Equinox videos came out that following year.
Yeah,
so
those were big time. Were you guys... teaching at Equinox as well at that time?
Yes. Yep, we were teaching at... He was teaching at Equinox first, and then right before that I started teaching. And we just, you know, amazingly got lucky with that. You know, they... a guy named Keith Iris, who's a lovely guy.
He's the regional manager.
For Equinox on the West Coast. And he recommended me for that first video.
Yeah, I think you got lucky. You were the right person.
You were definitely the right person.
Thank you.
It was good. You deserve it.
That video was absolutely artful. Yeah.
Thank you. Artful. Thank you. So many amazing people were involved that made it really what it was. And all we did was fly there, show up with a sequence, and do it a million times. But it was really fun and great experiences in the beginning. And definitely the Equinox videos, along with Yoga Glow, the platform that Dice is teaching, has been teaching on for quite a while now since the beginning. Those both helped propel us into what we're doing now.
I think the Bryce Yoga term, though, came about more like maybe 2012. So, I mean, right around the time that we decided to start doing teacher trainings and things of that nature.
Yeah, we were traveling just Bryony and Dice for a while.
Yeah, it was just Bryony and Dice, and then, bless you, and then, like you did in the beginning, somehow went, bless you.
Bless you.
People were calling either one of us Bryce, so it ended up becoming Bryce Yoga from there. Which is easy. Brian Dice Yoga became Bryce. So, yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
So nowadays, how do you manage your travel? Is it all managed by you two?
Yeah. Bryce is an amazing businesswoman, and she's great at handling correspondence and keeping connections with people that way, you know? So she really does. Anytime, any inquiry, if it comes through my channels, it's thank you for inquiring. I'm going to send you over to my wife now. And then she likes to connect the dots. Because the other thing is with my stepdaughter, we have her on and off. So whenever she's with her dad, that's when we go and travel. So Bri really handles a lot of the scheduling, tries to make it fit. So the travel is, I mean, everything has been managed by us, not by anyone else. Yeah.
We've tried in the past on the business side to have assistants or managers or things like that, but it boils down to why we're doing this, and we're doing this because we love connecting with people, and I also am very passionate about business. I studied, you know, in university, I studied business, so it's something that really inspires me, you know, to see, just to be able to be present enough to see where you are and the opportunities that you have. And one, I would say like 80% of our business is about networking and relationships. So if you leave that up to somebody else who's representing you, it's really hard to connect with the people who are trusting you and wanting you to come and share with them. So we keep that in-house.
That's beautiful.
It's tough. It's a tough thing because we do have the determining factor in our schedule being somebody else's schedule, my ex's. And he travels as much, if not more, than we do. So it's coordinating years and years in advance and having, you know, asking people who inquire to have us teach to wait, you know, 2 years until they get a date, you know. And every time we go somewhere, it's like, wow, we have been coordinating this for 2 years. Mm. It's amazing, but really worth it and really fun.
Yeah.
So right now, how do you feel as far as the future of your teaching career? Because you have, you know, another little one as well, little
yeah.
Sydney,
yeah.
who's absolutely awesome. I met him the other day at the jacuzzi. He threw toys at people and danced around.
Naked.
Yeah,
hey. He's wearing his birthday suit.
He's a happy guy. Absolutely happy and
so
beautiful.
Happy. Yeah, he was, you know, 2 months old when we first took him on a traveling, you know, excursion. And we took him to Thailand to Asia for 3 months at 2 months old and taught a 200-hour. Was our first one or second one?
It was our first one.
It was our first one.
First 200-hour, and then right after that was a tour of all the pure yogas in Asia.
Right.
He's been traveling a lot since he was 2 months. So.
But he has a really easy personality when it comes to traveling. You know, before, I think since he traveled so early, he just kind of thinks, oh, airplanes are what everybody does. So now he's excited to go on an airplane. I'm not going to say he's a saint. You know, he's not. He screams and cries like every other kid does. But within reason, because, you know, if he's uncomfortable or he's tired, he gets woken up because the plane decides it's time to eat breakfast or something like that, you know. Mm-hmm. But typically he's pretty easy and he makes it really fun. And it's been such a whirlwind, but an amazing 2.5 years of traveling with him.
And I think, I mean, going back to your question, I think the amount that we're traveling now, we're so stoked to be able to do it. But we're talking about having another child. And I think travel may have to slow down just a little, not a lot. And
That's his opinion.
Oh my goodness. The businesswoman has spoken.
She's spoken. But, you know, lately I've been starting to go and do more workshops solo. And I think that has been helping out as far as allowing her to be home. She's home with the kids a little bit. Gives her some downtime. And I'm, you know, because a lot of these places will ask, can we have both of you or can we have one of you? So just as long as we're still representing the both of us, it's okay if one goes solo. So that's been opening up new doors and making it a little bit more accessible so the kids can have a little more grounding time and have the routine. And, you know, so I think that's the way we're going. But I think we're still making big trips, obviously, together. Trips of more than a month, that's when he comes. But otherwise, it's hard on him.
Dice is very, he grew up in a very structured way. Like, so he's a very structured person. He thrives off of structure. And it's been really interesting getting to know a brain like that because I don't have much structure. And it's been, you know, that could be a plus, of course, but it's also in the past been kind of like the reason why, you know, I was crazy when I was a teenager because I'm like, woo, let's try this, let's try that. But after, this is just the pre-story, after, you know, retiring from the music industry at 21, I had a lot of time to look back and see how I didn't appreciate what I was doing. Actually even running away from it at times and taking it for granted because I was young. So this trip around, this time, I see what an amazing time we're living in and these amazing opportunities that we have to share what we love. And I'm maybe too negative sometimes, so focused on being present, super present in these opportunities as possible and being open to, you know, just seeing what's in front of us so that we can ride the waves rather than forcing it or rather than missing it. So what I've seen so far is like when we are open to these opportunities, just showing themselves up, you know, they come. And it's like we kind of said, oh, maybe we'll have another kid. I really want another kid. But you know, there's work and then there's, oh, body image and then there's practice and, you know, all these different things that us yogis think about when it comes to sacrificing our time to have children. I think that's kind of what the mindset is these days with a lot of yogis. Mm. It's when we decide or when we're like, oh, we're not sure, let's just be open to it. Things happen and you see them and then you realize, wow, our life is going in a direction that is allowing for us to do the things we want. rather than us just shaping it and forcing it. So it's been really beautiful, you know, with how, you know, we've cultivated the teacher trainings and we've, you know, traveled and we do the workshops and, you know, just living our dreams, and all of a sudden opportunities open up to where, hey, you know what, next year we can have another kid, even though that means me traveling pregnant and knowing now that I need to take a little more time off before that baby travels, and knowing now that we would do things differently, like not co-sleep, or, which is really tough for me, or not breastfeed for too long, or, you know, those things that work better for a working parents. You know, we know now what we need to do, but it's just beautiful when you're open to opportunities rather than forcing them.
That's awesome. That's beautiful how well you two coincide and you're able to compromise on things. You know, you're more structured, Dice, and you're more strategic, Briny, and yet and still you make this beautiful couple who are able to flow together seamlessly.
Thank you. Or
so it seems. 5% of the time.
No, I mean,
every couple has to have their problems.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, any relationship is not about changing the person. You're not trying to make them fit a mold of any kind that you see as how you see your significant other, or you're just your partner. It doesn't have to be this kind of relationship, but it's not about changing someone. It's not even really about changing yourself. It's just being okay with finding more self-love. And I also think, you know, remembering all the qualities that you love about the person that you're with. And because it can be so easy to start to nitpick and pull apart the things that you don't like, because that's what somehow you start to see all those. And reminding yourself why you guys were together in the first place is, I think, something we both visit all the time. And also not looking at what the other person can't do as a weakness, but more as something as, oh, no, I can step up here. And support here, and then in the other places, supporting also their positive aspects or the things that really make your partnership thrive. Because I mean that's yoga, you know. It's not, again, fitting a mold or making it something that you see it needs to be. It's more like,
yeah, it's very much yoga. I agree.
It's a dance.
It's a dance.
It's a flow.
I think people can get stuck in their own ways of doing things. You know, that cycle that you come across yet again, like, oh my gosh, this is the same girlfriend I've had how many times now, and they burn me every time. Or, you know, this is the same problem over and over again. And it's the same thing for relationships. Like, you as a couple can get stuck in these cycles, mm-hmm. of, like, we're back here again, you know, and it's...
And as a team, just one of us needs to be able to recognize that cycle,
yeah.
and try and snap it. And... Just and we've been getting, you know, always getting better and better at, yeah. Like, whoa. You may have had a bad day. I love you.
Yeah.
Sit down for a moment. Or do you need to talk this out? And typically, it solves itself. But, you know, you can let things escalate if
being
both
accountable.
Of you are coming in with your...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Being accountable for your own feelings rather than, like, you made me feel this way, or it's your fault, you know. Mm.
So if you were to give 3 succinct... tips for
succinct. Okay.
Pulling us back. Good job.
For the couples out there that are yogis that perhaps are traveling and, you know, dealing with some of the things that you've dealt with in the past, what would they be?
Number one, love. Remember that. There is love, but you also have to remember there was love in the beginning, at least. There's always something that brought you guys together. And there's something that attracted you both, whether it was physical or just there's some sort of chemistry that's going on. And you always have to come back to that, because I think if you do, all the other shit will fall away, and you'll always remember. You'll see the person for who they are, and you'll see them as the light or the being that you initially saw. And they're still the same person. It's just you always have to keep reminding yourself, I think. The mind is a funny thing. So love.
Yeah, so much clouding.
Find love. Remember that you guys are in love. You're there for love. And I think...
And that there's always more. Like, there's... Your initial experience in a relationship has a lot to do with your own shit, as Dice said it. It's like what you're projecting on the person. And over time, you peel away the layers of the onion. And that's when you start to see or reevaluate. Do I like this person? Because like, I think, is more important than love. Because like lasts forever. You know? And I like Dice as a person in general. Like, there's all this shit that happens because we're together 24/7, but I want to spend the rest of my life with him, you know, because what I see now is what I really, really like.
Mm-hmm.
And love stems from there, like deep, eternal love stems from there, I think. Yeah. Love. That's not very succinct.
It's not very succinct. But love.
That's
love.
One.
L-O-V-E and, you know, where you...
L-I-K-E.
L-I-K-E.
Two, You were talking about traveling, people who are traveling. I think being so mindful about how you treat yourself when you're planning travel and when you're traveling is the key, because people can get so burnt out just by not planning the travel well, you know, layovers for 10 hours or getting in at the wrong time and suffering horrible jet lag. You know, you can be very strategic, as you said, about the way you plan your travel and how you treat yourself while you're traveling. Yeah. You do a third one.
Three. So we have love, we have travel well.
Plan
your strategic. Travel. But how do you be a yoga couple? I guess the third one.
Find time to practice together.
Yeah, I mean, I think.
Because so many teachers,
right? It goes back to finding that love again. Finding the love of the person, finding the love of the practice.
Passion.
Especially if you're traveling and teaching. I know this goes for a lot of traveling teachers. They'll say, the question I always get is, how do you keep your practice up? How do you not, like, you know, because you're teaching three workshops in a day and you travel to another time zone. It's so easy to be at the end of the day and be like, I'm just tired. I'm not going to, you know. And then you think you practiced a little by demoing, but you really haven't practiced, you know. And I don't mean the asana practice either. I think what's more important for a lot of people when they're traveling is really finding time to just sit. Sitting on an airplane is different than sitting in your hotel room, wherever it is, and quiet and just sit. It's very hard for us, obviously, with a kid and all that. So finding time to
making time.
It's making time.
Past year, we've realized that a lot.
Make time for your practice, whatever that means, whether it is, you know, whatever kind of sadhana it is, whatever kind of practice, that's so important, because that, in the first place, that's why we're doing what we do, because we fell in love with the yoga practice. Teaching it is the blessing or the icing on the cake or the cherry on top. We're lucky enough that we get to share what we love with other people. But I think more importantly, remember why you're doing it. And it's because you're a student.
Can first. I do a fourth?
Hit us with
go
it.
For it.
This one's really, really important, especially for those who have family, like children, mm-hmm. is make time to make love.
Hmm.
Not just like have sex because, you know, your guy needs to have sex. Because women can go forever without sex, you know. It's not like, he's got to have sex.
So they say.
But you have to make time to make love. Like, you know, set the tone and
put on reggae,
you know. Wait, we don't tell
them everything. But coconut oil.
Exactly.
Have an intimate
relationship. Like a real connection.
Yeah.
Not just like a, just gotta do this.
To get it over with, you know, not like that.
It's beautiful that, you know, you still cultivate that type of relationship where you come back to the fundamentals of what makes that relationship so passionate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the thing is, we've just not recently figured this out, but just, I mean, you know, for the first few years after, especially after Sydney was born, we were scrambling to find, not that we lost touch with each other, but we were definitely trying to find time for one another and kind of rekindle whatever it was that got us there in the first place. And we've been really working on communication and getting that to happen. So,
well, what was really interesting, though, is I have this trauma bond with my daughter. And for me, you know, we had a horrible custody battle before I met Dyson. For me, it was like, what the most important thing is your kids. And my mom, you know, being Asian, she believes that and kind of instilled it in me. Like, everything in your life is your kids. And so we'd been seeing this couples therapist for a little bit. And in the first session, he says, the most important thing is you guys, is the couple, because you guys are the family. And that was so foreign to me. I was like, oh, this guy's bullshit. Like, I don't want to come back here. You know, but as I meditated on it, as I thought about it and applied it to my life, you know, it has to at least be equal. You know, how important each person is. It has to at least be equal in the family.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, I appreciate your wisdom and knowledge and revealing both of your yoga journeys and really allowing us to fully see the true colors of your relationship.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Such an easy person to talk to.
Yeah, it's such an easy space to share. So thank you.
Thank you.
You can find out more about Bryony and Dice at bryceyoga.com. For more information on their inversion workshops and teacher trainings worldwide, check out their website or drop into one of their many workshops around the globe. Also, make sure to check out their awesome yoga festival, the IG Getaway, at iggetaway.com. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Yoga Revealed podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and drop us a 5-star review if you love the interviews that we do. Join the community online at yogarevealed.com for more behind-the-scenes action. Live light, shine bright. Namaste, yogis.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.